What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
I'm tired.
Yeah, I am too. This has basically been going since, what, Friday last week, and we're just crossing the finish line today of
it's crazy too, because you and I were like, okay, after NXT and is done tomorrow, or even really after SmackDown at 205, we're done, and then the news just doesn't stop.
No news,
including into today. We were supposed to do this late last night. I had an earlier shift, so we couldn't do it last night, and for some of the news that we're about to talk about at the end of the pod, I'm kind of glad that we did.
And there'll probably be news while we're doing this podcast, so let's jump right into it. Let's get the ball rolling.
So the biggest news is the finish of WrestleMania. We're going to talk about WrestleMania as a whole, but this story just continues to be more and more interesting. Everyone has an opinion on it as the week goes on. So we were all very shocked, I'm sure, as Roman Reigns did not win at WrestleMania. And then after he lost, he was also bloodied up, and some people were wondering, did Brock go and did business for himself? He went to the back and threw the title at Vince McMahon. The next day, Brock all of a sudden has a new contract. We've heard contradictory things about how long that is. It sounds like 6 months. Today, at one point, I heard it was a one-match deal, so I don't know what it is. He hasn't been put back into USADA yet, and now they're going to have a match at the Greatest Royal Rumble. And Roman's starting some conspiracy type of character on television. This whole thing is an absolute cluster, Joel.
Cluster's putting it very mildly. Do you mind if I give my thoughts on everything that's
going on? Run it down, bud.
So we watched WrestleMania, and I think by the end we were both kind of burnt out. It's a long show, and it definitely takes its toll. The highs and lows, the emotional investment in some matches, and not as much emotional investment in others. So you're kind of sitting there, and you're kind of like, okay, just got to get through this. The way the match was structured, I guess I can kind of see why they did it, because it's to show that Roman will never give up and never quit. But at the same time, the crowd just rejected Roman. They had beach balls. They were more focused on their beach balls and chanting CM Punk and "this match is awful," which I don't think we've ever heard a chant like that before. So
I don't remember hearing that, especially in the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the pinnacle for your broadcast. That is the pin. We talk about the Andre doc, and we go back to WrestleMania 3. That was the pinnacle of that WrestleMania, was Hogan and Andre, and that's still talked about to this day. I don't think we'll be talking about this main event. And to be quite honest, I don't think any of the matches Roman has main evented, I don't think anyone's going to look back on them super fondly and go, you know, I remember that moment. And that's
one, because of Seth cashing in, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's only because Seth cashed in. If Seth didn't cash in, then that's another lukewarm pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the six F5s are what bugged me the most, because Brock had put everyone down with one. It's always been one F5, and then it's over. The only guy to kick out of two F5s are probably John Cena and the Undertaker.
Yeah.
So those are the only two. So you have effectively said that Roman is better and stronger than John Cena and the Undertaker at WrestleMania while he had his streak going. Which is fine if the finish is Roman winning, but it's not. Roman gets buried. And that to me is, that's my issue with this, is Roman losing. I think we've all been kind of bent into submission that, yes, Roman's going to win, and that's what we all expected. When it didn't happen, that's where we run into a big issue, is because you've taken this great moment that was supposed to be everything for Roman. This was supposed to be it for Roman. This is supposed to be what propels Roman forward into the stratosphere, and he's supposed to have a nice long run, and he is your guy, and he's made it, and that's final. Well, now, you don't. Because, yes, Roman will probably win at the Greatest Royal Rumble. And, yes, the crowd reaction will probably be better there. But for everyone that tunes in to just WrestleMania, their lasting image is Roman Reigns getting punked by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and, you know, you and I have talked about that WrestleMania 3 moment that they showed on the Andre doc of Andre celebrating in kind of this narrative of Andre knew that Hogan was the next guy. And, you know, as wrestling fans, a lot I celebrated really loud. I scared some of the casual fans we had at WrestleMania because I was so happy that Brock lost. And it was like, oh, well, I guess we're just going to do this Brock Lesnar thing and we're going to go right to Brock and Bobby Lashley. And Roman, in this way, is just done and he's going to do whatever. And then, you know, Brock gets the contract the next day and then, boom, it's up. And then this conspiracy character starts and it's like, you know, we should have just had that moment with Roman holding the title and then start the feud with him and Samoa Joe and then whoever he goes from there and just start it because that's the way that history is supposed to be. We're not going to remember him winning at the Greatest Rumble ever. You're going to remember him having that moment at WrestleMania. And two times now, he hasn't had that moment because they got scared of the crowd. And yeah, Abu Dhabi is going to be fine. It's going to be a great crowd reaction because they're a lot easier than as hostile as what a WrestleMania crowd is. But it's not going to be as impactful of as a moment. And I feel we're going to come up with this christening again down the road because the discussion will be like, well, he was never christened fully at WrestleMania, even though he was in that match against Triple H.
Yeah, and we forget about that. 32, he beat Hunter clean. But yeah. Here's my thing. How is there a conspiracy theory? How is people looking at Roman differently? Like, I know Roman probably legitimately was walking in to WrestleMania thinking he was winning, and then they changed the booking. But I don't think that was a conspiracy theory. Like, I can't buy into Roman Reigns in this conspiracy theory, because the other thing is, if Vince had come out and rung the bell, if it was a WrestleMania screw job, then yeah, okay, then you've got some weight to this conspiracy theory. But he lost clean. 1, 2, 3 in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. There was no cheap submission. There was no refereeing the bell. There was no controversy in that match. Brock beat the piss out of Roman Reigns. Those elbows, I don't like those elbows. Those elbows make me very uncomfortable. But he did those elbows, which is all legal within the WWE ring. It was weird that they didn't get counted out and the ref didn't count, but that doesn't matter. Still, Roman had his shot, and he almost beat Brock, but he came up short. He lost. There is no conspiracy theory. There is no Bret Hart. There is no Daniel Bryan. There is no The Office is holding this guy down. And I don't think fans buy into it either. Fans aren't sitting there going, well, man, he's our guy, and The Office isn't supporting him. We're getting upset about this. We know Roman's the guy. We know Roman's going to win at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Though I do think there is a slight chance Roman loses again. And if Roman loses there, then I don't know where you're going with him. But
yeah, they're setting this thing up with like, oh, all of a sudden he didn't know that the match was going to happen. And now he's got to face Joe. It's like, really?
Like, is the deck really stacked against him? Like, he'll have his match. He's getting an unearned rematch. Orton had to earn his rematch. The Usos had to earn their rematch. Roman didn't. Roman's just like, yeah, no, you're getting your rematch. So what's he complaining about? Like, that's, again, Roman Reigns' character is a complainer. He is what a lot of internet wrestling fans are sometimes, complaining about stuff. He is us some days, where he's just complaining about things constantly. Oh, this isn't fair. Oh, I don't like this. This sucks. Wham, wham, wham. Roman Reigns is a whiner, and he's a complainer. The one time that Roman got over was when Roman was just the silent ass kicker. And they threw that out the window, and now he's just a guy that complains. Do you think Austin would have complained? Do you think Rock would have complained? Do you think Hunter would have complained? Do you think Shawn would have complained? Do you think Brett would have complained? No. All these guys would have been like, okay, well, lost this one, but I'm going to get Brock next time. I'm going to come out and I'm going to kick Brock's ass. But Roman Reigns is the whiner. And he's got all... It's Jericho did this conspiracy theory thing in WCW as a heel. It was to get heel heat, saying that there were these conspiracy theories against him. It's the same thing with Roman. It doesn't work. Brian is not... When Brian went on the run that he did, culminating at 30, it wasn't there's a conspiracy theory. It was, you guys really don't want me here, but all these people do. All these people are behind me, and they're making their voices heard. And they made their voices heard again when Brian returned. Roman doesn't have any of that going for him. And I feel for the guy because I feel like they booked him into a corner. An absolute corner where I don't know how he recovers from.
Yeah, you and I kind of talked like the character Roman Reigns, there's just no sympathy there, but the man that plays him, the character of Roman Reigns, Joe, and I'm going to butcher his last name, but Anatoya, I feel bad for him because it can't be easy to do all this stuff that they're trying to make him do because he just doesn't come off as anything good. It's a pretty pathetic character they have him playing.
Yeah, because it's a guy that complains. And we've seen what Roman Reigns is really like when he talks. He's an entitled asshole. He's cocky. He's arrogant. And give him all the credit in the world. He's earned the spot that he's in, and he's gotten there through hard work. But he's a cocky asshole. He's a jock. So why aren't you running with that?
Well,
why in God's name?
I had suggested that a while ago of the idea of put the Authors of Pain with him. And have them just be the Samoan, the kill squad. And I don't know why we're not going that route.
You remember what I said to you when we saw Authors of Pain at NXT.
What was that? Just remind me.
That you look at them, they look like the Shield.
Oh, exactly. That's the thing, right?
It's an easy, 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 easy thing because then everyone gets to boo Roman. That's what everyone wants to do. And, I mean, the other thing is, we're sitting with a group of casual fans watching WrestleMania. How many of them were like, man, I really like this Roman guy?
Nobody said anything about Roman. And also, you could just tell, like, they when Roman kept kicking out of the F5s, they don't know anything about the one F5 rule. And even they were saying, like, this is just dumb.
Yeah.
Because just to a casual person, they're seeing this, quote-unquote, fake wrestling. But they're seeing this guy kick out of a finisher multiple times. And to them, to getting to talk to some of them afterwards, they just were just like, it wasn't as believable because he just it didn't make him look like he was strong or anything like that. It just was annoying to me. And I'm like, exactly. If it was annoying to you as a casual fan, imagine how annoying it is to people that are more invested in this.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm kind of done talking about this, but...
Yeah, we're gonna shut the book on all this. But
the
Brock stuff is also interesting in this because it depends. Like, I don't know what this contract is. You don't know what this contract is. It's different every damn day lately, and maybe it is just one match. Bobby Lashley's back, and we'll talk about him in a bit. And that's been the rumor with all that. But ultimately, the wrong decision was made. They didn't tell anybody that day. They decided to change it in the ring to finish. So we go another 3 weeks now without Roman having the title. He's not going to be part of the Superstar Shakeup. He'll be staying on Raw, obviously. Unless they really, really want to swerve us for no reason there, which just kind of seemed like a lot of decisions were made just to swerve for no reason. And it's one of the reasons I picked Brock, because I just feel sometimes when things are too obvious, it's going to swerve you for no reason, brother. And that's kind of all I think this was. I don't... Like, the crowd, don't worry about them. They're going to boo him when he comes back to the States anyways. Like, just because you have him win the title in Abu Dhabi, it doesn't matter. He's still going to get booed when he comes back to the States, so I don't fully understand your reasoning.
No, I don't either. I see there's zero point in speculating about Brock. Will he go into USADA? Who knows? We figure he will probably be back in UFC in some capacity fighting.
probably at the end of the year, because he'll probably face the winner of the Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier fight.
And he'll lose that.
And he'll lose that, for sure. But that fight can't happen, especially with the way the testing happens, till the end of the year. So I would expect Brock to be at WrestleMania next year if I was a betting man right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is it's been a week, man. It's been a week.
Yeah.
This stuff. And
you're telling this me.
This has been the main discussion point, and it's really a discussion point that this is the last time I really want to talk about it. You and I have had conversations off air, fully discussing it. And I mean, even got to the point today, like I saw like The Ringer had their podcast up, and I'm like, as much as I'd love to know what David Shoemaker and the guys of The Ringer thought about this, I'm just like, I've had enough. I just want to get our input in, and hopefully, I mean, glad that you guys listen to our podcast, but it's just been dissected to death, and yeah. I don't really know what else to say on it. It's like a damn broken record.
Yeah. Let's move on, because I'm already feeling exhausted.
Let's talk about something positive. It's positive and sad.
Yes. What's so that? Let's do the sad first.
So we may have had the final be in the Elites.
No,
I don't know.
No, but
the final for a while.
It was almost like a half-hour show that they put out this week.
I know.
I mean, obviously, the Young Bucks, for those that don't know, the Young Bucks superkicked Kenny by accident, and Cody got the win at Supercard of Honor. And, like, we both figured that Cody was getting the win, so that's no surprise there. And we saw Marty get a contract for a $5 million to be a musical star, so he's leaving Being the Elite. Cody celebrated his victory while Brandy had a concussion and Flip had to take her to the hospital, which is the most Cody thing ever. The Bucks are gravely concerned about their friendship and the Elite with Kenny Omega. Ibushi kicked him out. They pulled on your heartstrings, and they just made you feel things, and Joey Ryan's dead. Or is Joey Ryan's penis dead?
I don't know. Something. We don't know. He was at WrestleMania, but I don't know.
Well, as someone on Reddit had posted, it's now just Joey Ryan's penis operating the body, and his new wrestling name is Rigor Mortis. So that's how he performed at WrestleMania, because he was killed in Japan, so... That penis sure does a good job getting dressed.
Apparently. Fantastic.
oh, God.
But, it's very interesting. I didn't think it'd be the finale, and maybe they're just... like. And the thing is, like, really no more big matches for any of them are really booked going forward that we know of, right?
No, nothing. I figure Omega and... the Golden Lovers will go for the heavyweight title. I don't know where the Bucks go next. I don't know where Cody goes next. This is very interesting.
Marty's interesting because I haven't heard anything, but you and I were curious if the record deal is slang for NXT.
I kind of think it's just... because... He's got a couple new shirts coming out for Pro Wrestling Tees, so I think that kind of squashes it. He's getting fans.
Yeah, I think so too. It was interesting. I think it's just kind of a way to have a pin for everybody going forward in the show.
Yeah, but poor Marty got worked when he'd freeze time.
I know.
Kayfabe, brother.
Ugh. Got him.
And the Revival's no longer relevant.
Ugh. That was mean.
Yeah.
And FTRR, I was Ron. We were all Ron.
We'll never know what it means because of Marty.
Yeah, I know. So, and then it came to the ROH show, which I really did not enjoy.
I think it was a bloated show. I think you had the two matches. You should have flipped the two matches. I think Marty should have gone on second. And then Kenny and Cody should have gone on last. That's the most heavily promoted match for your show. I think that's what a lot of people tuned in to see. I think that's what a lot of people wanted to sink their teeth into, and they just decided to go that way, which was really weird. But I mean, that was Ring of Honor's choice. I'm sure that wasn't necessarily Kenny and Cody's choice. You know, I got a lot of questions on where everything's going to go. I'm sure everything's going to work out, but they got 5 more months to kind of stretch this whole being the elite storyline out. And as one of the Bucks revealed on a Q&A that originally they were building towards Final Battle 2018 with Daniel Bryan.
Oops. And that's not going to happen.
No, I'm sorry, but Bryan's staying put.
Yeah. Bryan's not going anywhere, so that's it's not a thing. And yeah, I thought that ROH show was bloated, and there's just too many run-ins. Everything had, even the Kingdom coming down in the ladder match was like, really? We just couldn't have had the ladder match here?
Yeah.
And then the one match you kind of wanted someone to come down was in the Marty match, and nobody did in that. And I thought Ibushi and Paige was a really good match. In a way, it's my worst show of the year in the way of how disappointing I was about how good that show could be. I mean, it was to the point you and I had gone back and forth and debated of watching that instead of NXT.
Boy, did we make the right choice.
Yeah, we did. And back to the drawing board for them. I mean, I'm sure there's still going to be some good ROH stuff and whatnot going forward. I mean, they built some good stuff. There's some stuff I just don't care, like Bubba Ray versus Cheeseburger. I don't care about that feud.
Yeah.
I mean, they're telling the story of he's a WWE Hall of Famer and he's better than everyone in NXT, but I feel like we did that story a few years ago in TNA with Hogan and Flair.
Yeah.
So I don't fully understand where we're going with that. I don't know where they're going to go, who faces Dalton Castle next. Maybe Cody's getting a rematch. Maybe we'll go with that.
He beat one of the best wrestlers in the world, so it makes sense.
And that match, well, that match was very good. I think we all, two matches this week, we put a lot of pressure behind. Three matches we did, and it really felt like only one of them lived up to the standard of what we expected. Yeah. So, and speaking of which, NXT. Wow. I don't know if that is the best NXT of all time. It seems like after every NXT we say that, but there was never a dull moment on any part of that show. I mean, some people are like, well, the women's match wasn't as good as past ones, but I mean, Shayna Baszler popping her elbow back in was definitely something memorable.
Yeah, and I mean, she got the win, got the heel win, she's running with the title. Yeah, this was a fun show. Like, that ladder match was absolutely bonkers. Everyone went all out for that. You can see the love and admiration for Adam Cole that they've got. Just from top to bottom, it was a fun show. Like I said, that ladder match, that I'll never forget, like the elbow drop from Dream, Lars Sullivan, killing everyone. EC3 was fantastic. Adam Cole was the shining star. The tag team was great, especially now that you've got Roderick Strong as a heel, and Roddy as a heel is even better than Roddy as a face, so this is going to be a lot of fun. Undisputed Era is quickly becoming one of my favorite WWE faction groups that they've got going right now, so that feud's going to be fun. EC3 is going to be a star, Ricochet is going to be a star, Velveteen's going to be a star, Lars is going to be a star. Black finally getting his moment and beating Almost, which was great. Black showing real emotion for the first time after a match was great to see. I love just seeing the passion from Black and finally hitting it, climbing to the pinnacle. I don't know how long he'll be at the top of the mountain, but he's definitely going to be a call-up next year. He's really climbed to the top. Almost, the story they told with Vega and Almost and Black, and it was just literally one screw up that cost Almost. It was just one moment where Vega went to the well too many times and cost him. So that's going to be a fun storyline to tell. And then, boy, oh boy, that main event hit a home run. That was
everything we wanted from that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I texted you this, but for anyone that didn't know, the gear that Johnny Gargano had was a callback to Thor Ragnarok. So He's fighting a guy that looked like the Hulk, so it works. Man, that was a fun match. That was the best match of the week.
I mean, some people have been debating which was a better match, that match there or the match versus Almost. I still have the match versus Almost. But I don't know. I've gone back and forth. This match of the year, we're almost in the fourth quarter now, Joel, and like you can start seeing some of the seeds for stuff, right? Like I think we have some candidates for match of the year. The wrestler of the year, there's about three or four candidates for wrestler of the year. I think rookie of the year is already locked up. I think that one's pretty obvious. They'll just go to Ronda. But the match and the wrestler of the year is going to go back and forth. Number one, because, well, Kenny definitely, I think, has the lead. Gargano is right behind him. And then, oh, yeah, there's this guy named Daniel Bryan that just came back. And AJ Styles is there as well. And, you know, Okada is still doing his thing. So this rest of the year race is going to be good. And the match of the year, I would say right now it's the Golden Lovers against the Bucks. But you can't imagine that that's going to stay on top, just the way the work rate has been going show to show lately.
We still have the G1 that comes up in a couple months, so...
Exactly, and we have SummerSlam and all this other stuff, Money in the Banks, and more NXT shows.
Oh, God. I think there's a lot of good things to come, like... spoiler alert, so if you don't want to hear this, scrub ahead 30 seconds, but Johnny Gargano was challenging for Aleister Black's NXT title. He didn't make it to the challenge because of some bald-headed moron that should be gone now because he lost, but he attacked, and so we're waiting for who will be Black's challenger. But there's so many good things going right now that you really like. We complained for 10 minutes about the Brock and Roman and everything with that, but then we turned to NXT and we're like, oh, we're happy again, this is fun.
And that's the thing, that's why whenever you're getting frustrated and you want to cancel your WWE network, number one, why are you going to do that? Because Edge and Christian is back. So that's a positive for all of us.
Yeah. Something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard will be on the network, and it will not be it'll only be available on demand, and it'll be rated MA. So take that for what you will.
And also, which we should kind of get a little string of this in, there's going to be a Hardy Doc, and there's going to be a Hardy documentary or DVD coming out, and it'll be the first time that Impact TNA footage and WWE footage will be available in the same DVD ever. So something with Jarrett has been in the works. We had that line this week, and we saw footage of Victory Road, and maybe that's the way they're going to go as well. So, and plus, NXT's just been hitting out of the park. We're going to get a show next month, and I think we're getting Velveteen and Ricochet on that as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing, where you can complain, but you have Daniel Bryan back, you have NXT, and you have Being the Elite, so, I don't know what to tell you, things aren't as bad as what they could be, it could all suck, but it doesn't, there's a lot of good out there.
There is, so, but NXT just, an absolute standout, everything hit a beat, Aleister Black, and Almost is just... He may be my most improved wrestler of the year right now. Not that he was ever bad. He was just in this gimmick where it wasn't exciting, and he was almost becoming the enhancement guy. And he is just on another level right now, Almost. I really enjoy watching him in the ring. And I admit, you were way ahead of me in Aleister Black. I'm all in on that guy now, too. That guy is great. NXT, at least at this point, we don't know what the Superstar Shakeup is going to be like. But it doesn't seem like they lost a lot of big guns in the night after WrestleMania. So the touring for that is going to be pretty fun.
It's, you get into the point more and more where can, hey, Triple H, if you're listening to this or you hear this in your dreams or whatever, however this needs to get to you, please let it get to you. But if you want to bring up NXT up to Western Canada and have them do a loop through Western Canada and have them come through Calgary, Alberta, have them come into the corral. I don't care where you have them, but I will pay good money to be there. So if you can do that for me, I would change my tune on what I think about you. If you do that for me, Hunter, just please. And Ring of Honor, if you can bring some New Japan guys with you and come through here too over the summer, I'd be very grateful. Thank you. Please.
There you go.
I'm just putting it out there.
So, NXT, what a great show there. And then we got into the 8-hour show known as WrestleMania.
Ooh, brother. Brother.
This started off, it really seemed for a while, and we're going to talk about the things that stood out the most, but to a certain point, this seemed like it had a possibility to be one of the best WrestleManias of all time. And then they did a stretcher job with Daniel Bryan. Shane stood in the ring for way longer than he needed to be, and then things just kind of started falling downhill from there.
Yeah, it just seemed to lose some steam. Like, let's talk about the first big moment from the pay-per-view, and it was the end of the streak. Like, is New Orleans where they just want to end streaks?
Like, apparently so.
What would you think of Asuka losing?
You and I, I was saying to you, I'm like, we should have filmed us live for our reactions, maybe much like they did for Marwan Alo on NXT, which if you get a chance, you got to go see that clip. Fantastic. That's great. Yeah, it was, you and I, our jaws almost look like cartoon jaws with how much they fell down because it just seemed elementary. It's going to be Ronda. It's going to be Asuka. Ronda's not going to lose for a whole year, and Asuka's going to not lose for 2 years, and holy crap, it's streak for a streak. With the title on the line, what's going to give? And no, we're going to have Charlotte win. And then Charlotte's going to lose to Carmella the next night. Okay, cool.
It just seemed like they, I don't know. I guess they finally felt like they were getting too backed up into a corner with Asuka's streak. And I guess they wanted to loosen up the pressure a bit and find different way. Now Asuka can lose and it's not as big of a deal. We didn't see Asuka this week because I think they're probably going to move her to SmackDown, which I'm fine with. Mm. If you don't know where you're going with her, then it's okay to take a breath and go, okay, this is what we're going to do with you next. You really put over the Iconics on SmackDown with Charlotte.
Not the Iconic Duo, the Iconics.
I can just see Vince looking at the duos and being like, nope. And Hunter going, please. Funny enough, there's a story out there that apparently Hunter draws some of the logos for the NXT Superstars. Yeah, so he
drew the Bayley hug logo then, I guess, hey?
I can just see him sitting in his little office, Stephanie going, are you done yet? Nope, gotta get this ponytail right. Sean, just turn your head a little bit. We need to take a look at it from this angle. I don't know, this makes Iconic look really good. We knew the cash-in had to happen, but we always thought that it was going to be a failed cash-in. But I guess it's not a failed cash-in, and Charlotte's going to go to Raw, maybe, or Charlotte's going to feud with Carmella. But Charlotte beat Asuka, so Charlotte should be able to squash Carmella.
By the way, neither of the Royal Rumble winners from this year won.
Is that a new record of some kind, or...?
I don't remember and I don't think the Royal Rumble winner last year. No, Randy did win.
Yeah.
So they've kind of gone back and forth. But I think I'd like to know the last time the winner of the Royal Rumble actually main evented WrestleMania.
Well,
probably Roman, I assume, right?
Yeah, Roman. Well, no, Hunter won it. So
Hunter won it, right? There you go.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's. I guess they had it back to back years because they had Roman when he won it, then he lost to Brock, and then Hunter when he lost to Roman. So the winner of the Royal Rumble hasn't won. I guess Randy did, but not in the main event. That's the bigger question.
I don't remember, to be honest. Cena, maybe?
Maybe. It's been a while. Yeah. Like I'm not saying it takes away from the Royal Rumble. We'll be very excited. What it goes forward, like I don't want to go too off basis, but with this greatest Royal Rumble, that should be a title shot at maybe SummerSlam, or they got to do something with it. And I'm certain after the Superstar Shakeup and everything, we'll have something at stake with it. Like, I think the title shot at SummerSlam would make the most sense, though.
well, you're going to have 50 guys competing in this, so you better be doing something.
Mm-hmm. You can't just be like, that's what we're going to give Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, just a throwaway Royal Rumble. That would be the honestly, I'd have Bryan. Excuse me. That's where I'd have Bryan win.
Don't think it's a terrible idea.
But then again, who knows? Maybe Jinder Mahal will win.
Hey, why not?
Yeah, hey. It's going to be very interesting. I'm not even thinking about who should win that.
We'll have plenty of weeks for that. But I got us off topic on that. Not you. That was me on this one. But I guess the idea now, and the score up here in Canada, they were reporting it today that the plan is for the main event of next year's WrestleMania to be Charlotte and Ronda.
Yeah, I guess they see more in Charlotte Flair than Asuka. I mean, that's fine. But I don't know. There's something about this that just bugs me. I just don't like the way it played out. I don't know if it's because I thought this was a foregone conclusion and I'm wrong, and they swerved me, and I never thought that they would swerve me. I think we joked about it. I think I joked, yeah, this is where Asuka's going to lose, and then it actually happened. Oops.
Yeah, that's the way I guess to say it is. Oops.
Yeah, like that.
So let's talk about Ronda. I think that match is a different kind of nomination for the match of the year in a way of it was one of the more it sports entertained us. It was by far it was the best match of WrestleMania. It's the match you're going to remember the most from WrestleMania. And I think out of everything, everyone played their roles great. Steph even looked good. And I think the main thing is Ronda looked unbelievably good.
Yeah.
So all this worry that we had about Ronda Rousey kind of just gets thrown out the window because she looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
And she showed us today, that day, that she is going to be a main eventer and that she's the most valuable asset in the company.
Yeah, yeah, she is. She absolutely is. Like, that is the one thing that you can definitely take from this, is that Ronda Rousey's no... we are very unsure what we are going to get, and boy, Ronda hit a home run with everything she did.
I thought everything in that match was perfect. And Ronda, I don't know when we'll see her next. Obviously, she won't be the greatest Rumble because, unfortunately, greatly unfortunately, women are not allowed on that show. But just the look that she had, from the smile to the frown, was fantastic. When do you think we'll see her again? I can't imagine we see her at Backlash.
No, I think there's going to be a little bit of downtime for Ronda Rousey, and then she'll pop back up.
Which I think is the right idea. I mean, I know we had this thing about her being full-time and everything like that, but I don't think she should be full-time.
No.
A weird side note with Ronda was the Alicia Fox stuff with her husband, Travis Brown, and Alicia was kind of told, don't show up at the building the next day. So,
well, that was actually proven to be that she wasn't medically cleared yet.
Okay. So it had nothing to do with her getting Travis Brown's face?
No, apparently. That's what's being put out there, but who knows? Okay.
It's still something to keep an eye on, I guess, though.
Yes, yes.
Because that was a little weird.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. But no, overall, I was super impressed with Ronda, and I look forward. I don't know what the next match is for her. I'm assuming we're kind of going the way of her and Steph.
Yeah, just a singles one-on-one match.
And I think that's fine. Steph continues to be one of the best heels in the company.
She's a good heel.
She's done her job. So I'm very impressed with her work in that. I thought Triple H and Kurt did a good job, but realistically, you have a star with Ronda. She proved how good she can be, and I think we're going to see our first all-women main event next year at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair prediction. Shocking moment. Not sure how this goes. Not sure how this impacts Asuka going forward. I think we'll have a better idea. Superstar shakeup where this goes. Hopefully this doesn't result in a losing streak for her. She goes on a massive winning streak and then goes on a massive losing streak. That would certainly be that'd be an interesting story to tell, but I'm not sure where you go with Asuka next. But for now, Charlotte's on the rise, and Ronda Rousey's on the rise.
Yeah, they are, and we'll see. Like I'm assuming we're gonna get this Steph match, but I want to see what Ronda can do with a Natty or a Becky. That's really where I want to go next, but I think we're going to have to wait some time before we get to that.
Yeah, that'll be probably a Survivor Series type match.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Daniel Bryan. It was fantastic at Mania for when he got to go in the ring, but like I was talking about earlier, the delayed time of getting him in kind of hurt, and I also found it funny, the entrance was phenomenal, but all that stuff with him doing with the yes stuff at basketball games and the San Francisco Giants game, never showed it, and all of a sudden now we're going to show it.
Because now he's not competing with Roman. Not yet, anyways, but he's it's no longer a competition where they're like, we can't really push him. Now they can. Man, that entrance was great. And, yeah, it sucked that prolonged, but when Brian got in the ring and was flying around like a little water bug out there and just doing what he does best, he didn't miss a step. It's like he has been in that ring this whole time, and he probably secretly has, wrestling under a mask. And it's been great. I love seeing him there. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does. I'm gonna wince every time his head is involved in something for a little bit more. But I think they're going to be smart this time around. Brian's definitely working. No suicide dive from him, so that's good. I'm really glad
very to see good. Him. That's very yeah. good.
And no diving headbutt. I think
yet. That, yet.
God, but I
hopefully not one, period. But yet.
Wasn't it Harley Race said that he regretted inventing the diving headbutt?
He should, because Chris Benoit, and we know what happened with that, and then Dynamite as well, yeah. So, hasn't been ideal for those involved.
Yeah, I'd much rather just get rid of that. Have that move be one of those banned moves, like a pile driver, and just be done with it. But, boy, so one night we get Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and then the next night we get Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a shock. It's really nice to have D-Bry back. I mean, we would have preferred to have something else at WrestleMania just for him. I mean, maybe just even him or an AJ or something. But I don't know where Bryan's exactly going, but it's fun to have him back. One thing we did see that we had a lot of anticipation for was AJ and Nock, and you and I were getting into it, and we had our friend Devin Seal, who do the Pop Culture Pod with here on Fresh Take, with the We Talk Network, and we're getting into it, and then Styles hits that Styles Clash. I'm like, okay, we're going to get revved up. 1, 2, 3. We're like, oh, okay then.
Yeah, that was a disappointment. That, I don't know, that just kind of fell flat. I was fully ready for the kick out and this match to kick into the next gear. I thought it had another 10 minutes for sure. Not ideal, but... Boy, what happened after it, and then what happened on SmackDown? I'm ready for a heel Nakamura. And funny enough, Nakamura was a heel for most of his New Japan run. That's what got him over, was being a heel. And Chaos was a heel stable until it brought in Okada and got popular.
I love the promo, and I love the sorry, no speak English. That was phenomenal.
And just the way he... AJ's never having kids again. I'm like, I'm sorry, AJ.
No, a new Nakamura move.
Yeah.
The crotch punch.
Yeah. He stole that from Yano, and now... Who is a Chaos member as well, so that makes sense. There you go.
Keep it in the family.
Yeah, yeah. You know, speaking of New Japan, we had a couple... We had a couple people in the crowd that I think would have easily been Braun's partner.
Right? Like, man, everybody wanted him to pick Suzuki so badly.
I would be so scared for those NXT developmental talent, because they would all be dead. Like, Suzuki having a couple beers, and oh boy, that would have been bad. That would have been terrifying. And you had the ace of Japan, and you had the current IWGP heavyweight champion, Okada, in the crowd. You could have picked any one of them, and they would have easily been like, yeah, no, I can do this in street clothes. This will be easy.
And, you know, the most annoying part to me is I really care, and it'll sound stupid. I don't know how much you value this. I like hearing those stats of he's the youngest champion of this belt. I really liked hearing that and be like, oh, Randy Orton was the youngest WWE champion. And now that's such a joke title because it'd be like, the youngest champion was Nicholas at 10 years old. Ha 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 ha.
And you heard who this Nicholas is. He's
John Cohn's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I liked his promo on Monday night, like his little promo of he'll be good and ready, and he'll get these hands. It was a nice mm-hmm. little promo, but and the kid was over. So
people liked him. I didn't like him. I thought it was a stupid thing.
Yeah. Well, you got really worked up though. That was part of the issue, and that's part of the issue with the whole angle because you're sitting there like it's Hogan. Hogan's coming out, or it's going to be.
Yeah, well, you get in your mind of who to get.
Big Show or Rey Mysterio. Be,
right? Yeah.
And you were really getting going, and it was a kid.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest disappointment. I think even one time when we did the preview with Mo, one time we're like, it'll probably just be like a fan or something. We just kind of just threw that out there, just joking. And never joke, because they will hear you. And I thought it was, you know, it was whatever. Got Braun his spot to do what he needed to do. But I just thought also, I think the buildup of when it was happening, right? It was so late in the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were kind of disappointed from how Nock and AJ ended. And you're just kind of drained out. And, you know, Bliss and Nia was fine. And we're not going to talk about it, but I was shocked how over Nia was on Raw. I was just shocked by that. But it was late in the show, and it's like, oh, this is just dumb. But whatever.
Yeah. Back to AJ and Nock. I think this will be a nice feud. WrestleMania is not exactly the place to kick off a angry feud. I do think it works. I do think having a little bit more of a set baby face and a little bit more of a set heel is going to help elevate this. And and we've seen how vicious Nock's already been. So
I love it. I love it so much. And, you know, it was such a good story, too, because you saw in Ali and Cedric this respect and embrace afterwards. You saw with Asuka and Charlotte this respect and embrace after. So you had gotten to that point of that's the idea of the show, and then that what's made the Nocturne so much better.
Yeah, and just the viciousness of his stomps afterwards were just perfect. And then his Kinshasa to Brian, and then just beaten the hell out of AJ. I guess he is a little too emotional, Josh. And he's really, really, really sorry. Before we get to little notes from Raw and SmackDown, there's one other thing from Monday night from WrestleMania that we got to talk about, Josh.
What's that?
We were both wrong.
In what way?
That they worked us into a frenzy over The Undertaker and John Cena, and it worked.
I
perfectly.
Know I thought, wow, they're really not going to do it. And they made us want it. Those sons of bitches. They made us want that match.
When Vince really wants to pull on the strings and be the puppet master, he can be. He can absolutely get you where you need to be. And you don't even realize it. He'll drag you kicking and screaming. And then you'll sit there and go, oh, I'm enjoying this. This is fun. And Josh, there's going to be a rematch between Cena and Taker. Because Cena had way too many beers when he was sitting in the crowd.
I know, right?
Like, that's why he fell from the big boot. Like, that's why the big boot missed, was because Cena fell because he was drunk.
He was just enjoying being a fan too much, and the Massachusetts, the Boston in him, just came out a little too much in that match.
Yeah, and he just had a little bit too much to drink, and that's why
I think he got exhausted too. Like, after the Oscar match, when the ref came down, he was running up the aisle. I just think he kind of gassed himself out a little bit too with the mix of the alcohol, right? Like, he was just going.
And scrambling to find his gear. Nikki probably hid his gear. He didn't have his own locker room or anything. He didn't know the Undertaker was going to be there at all.
No,
so.
He didn't. He was there as a fan. And he was really concerned for the pregnant woman next to him, so he put in a lot of emotional support next to her.
Yeah, and he really bought into the cruiserweight match.
Yeah, he really did.
He's probably really shocked that Asuka lost. So
like all of us. I will say that match was exactly what it needed to be, and that's just, I think, what Taker's role is going to be going forward, and I got no problem with it.
Yep, and well, he buried John Cena. He's got another guy to bury. Rusev Day, right?
We thought so, but now we'll get to that at the end. So overall, like I said, this Mania started off really, really good, and it looked like it was going to be an all-timer. And then after that Bryan stretcher job, I think it kind of took a little bit of a hit. I'd probably give this WrestleMania about a 7 out of 10.
I'd give this a 6 out of 10. Yeah. I thought it was a lot of fun, but I also think that there were moments that really hurt. The main event hurt it the most. That to me, that should be the pinnacle. For me, I remember hearing that a lot of people were looking forward to AJ and Nock, and I think that hurt it as well, because I don't think they
cut it short. They cut it way too short.
The way they
short.
Booked the match just didn't jive. But I mean, with all that said, in a couple months we could be talking about this blood feud between AJ Styles and Nakamura. So we'll get somewhere, but this was a 6 out of 10 for me. There are some moments that are definitely worth checking out. I think for full matches, the IC title is worth watching.
Yep.
I think the Ronda match was good. Worth watching.
Cruiserweight was good. Yeah, definitely watch the Ronda. Cruiserweight was fun.
Yep. I think that you can watch the last minute of the Brock and Roman just to see a very bloodied Roman Reigns and just to see how everything played out. Cena and Taker's worth just watching Taker's entrance alone just to see that again. So
yeah.
There's still a chance that I could see Undertaker live, Josh. There's still a chance.
There's still a possibility. You can still do it. I've already seen it, but there's still a chance for you. We're getting a little shorter on time here, so let's get to the big stuff here. Monday Night Raw, the big one is Bobby Lashley made his much debated, much known about return. It was against Elias, which is weird. I think the thing with Raw is there's a lot of good debuts, but it just kind of ended flat. So were you kind of surprised where they had Bobby Lashley?
Yeah, but I think it makes sense because you can't really have Bobby Lashley come out and beat up anyone that was in that final match. And I don't think Elias closing the show out would have worked.
No.
But, you know, for what you got, Bobby Lashley's back, and EC3 is scared.
He should be. AOP, they're back, but they're going to leave Paul Ellering to the side, which makes sense because we kind of knew that was going to happen because he's obviously getting up there in age and the travel just wouldn't be good for him.
Yeah. And I mean, he served his role for AOP. I'm excited to see where AOP goes from here. I think they're probably going to be the challengers for the title after whoever wins at the Greatest Royal Rumble, but
keep them the bludgeons away from each other.
Yep, I think that'd probably be the smartest way to go.
And then we also had Samoa Joe, maybe with the promo of the year.
Just a home run. He called Roman out on all his shit.
It's, I mean, I know Roman's probably going to win at the Greatest Rumble. It's just like, maybe we should just give the title to Samoa Joe right after, because he just kind of earned it in a promo all by himself.
He's so entertaining that I'd much rather have Joe running with the Universal title.
And then Jeff Hardy came back, and we have kind of him as Brother Nero. He's not totally separated himself away from it. But we also have Matt tagging with Bray. We saw that at the Andre Battle Royal. What do you think about that tag team?
You know what? It's a fine tag team. I think it gives a little bit more life to Bray. I'd like to see a little bit more of a character change from Bray. But I'm really enjoying Matt. Just seems to be having so much fun. So
yeah,
and you can just feel that.
I think we both kind of wanted Jeff to be a single star, and I think that Jeff will be leaving Matt, and I think Jeff is going to be going to SmackDown.
Yes, I would agree with you.
Or they'll put Matt onto SmackDown because maybe that's a little easier for them to do the Broken Universe stuff on SmackDown instead of Raw. I can see that as well. Either way, I think the Hardys are getting separated come this week.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it. I want Jeff as a single star, and I think that's the best way to go with things. Also on Raw, we got an announcement of the Superstar Shakeup, so that'll be good. For next week, we had the Tag Team Eliminator, because Vince likes his weird terms at times. It's not a tournament, damn it, it's an eliminator.
Oh, Vince, you are truly one of a kind.
And we found out the TNA is hiring.
Yep, they certainly are.
And Austin Aries, I don't know if you saw this, he did an interview, and he's like, that's probably more of a shot at Alberto Del Rio, and I don't think it is. No. Maybe it's both, I don't know.
No.
SmackDown, a story from Raw leads into SmackDown. Paige finally announced her retirement. Very, very sad. She says she remains hopeful, but what did you think about Paige's retirement, and what does this mean for Absolution?
Well, Absolution is done, and this means that, I look at this as, it's sad, it's bittersweet. Paige has been through a lot. Paige has taken a lot of grief from fans, but this is a very sad ending for Paige's career. It's funny because she debuted after WrestleMania 30, and yeah, she's retiring the night after WrestleMania 34. So you look at that, and it's just been a whirlwind for Paige. Sucks, but I'm glad they found a good role for her to be in.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted Double J to be the GM. That was my hope, but I think Paige is a nice choice, and it gets Brian out of that role. It gets Brian back to a full-time competitor. So really, that's all I care about. And her and Renee, they want to be back talking smack. So I'm all for that. Let's see if we can get that.
Yeah.
The women really ran this show, by the way. Like, literally with Paige and then with some of the news on here. We kind of talked about with Charlotte, but Carmella cashed in the Money in the Bank after the Iconics took her out. What did you think about all of that? And I mean, Becky, where were you? I know the quinoa was good, but come on, Becky.
I think Charlotte's heart's broken because another friend has betrayed her.
Over quinoa, no less.
It's a shame.
It's a shame. It must have been good quinoa. It had to have been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the only thing that would have stopped her.
That's the real iconic duo, is Becky and the quinoa.
Yeah. Poor Peyton and Billy.
Yeah, but we'll talk about the Iconics. I really thought it was a good overkill beatdown, and you and I have known this for a while about how good both those are on the mic, and that was a main event talent that we've been waiting to see, and they both really proved it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm really excited. What more they can do.
And then Mella cashing the Money in the Bank. Not a shocker, but what does it mean to you with her beating Asuka? Do you think that she loses the heat, or that the Iconics just did such a good job with the beatdown that it doesn't take away as much?
Doesn't take away as much, but it still kind of leaves a little more to be desired. I get it why they kind of went with it, but it wasn't what I was hoping for. So,
and what do you think about Mella's promo afterwards? I thought, for Mella, she's up and down with stuff as far as promos. That's why I think she was so good with Ellsworth. But I thought a pretty good promo from her in the back.
Yeah. I thought a decent promo. Nothing's on top the Nakamura promo.
No, but that's what I was going to talk about. And then just Nakamura's overall work on SmackDown was just, we kind of talked about it earlier with Mania, but just a even better job picking up and really running the ball now. He just seems like a completely refreshed. And I think you're going to talk about guys that turn heel. I worked for Nock. Bobby Roode is another guy I think that really desperately needs that heel turn right now.
Yeah. Nakamura's been a face his whole time, so this is the first WWE heel turn, and it's just a complete other side of Nakamura that he can tap into, and he can really just drive home.
The promo skills were amazing. English, the fake apology, and then the beatdown on both Brian and on AJ was phenomenal. No pun intended there. The question is, will we be getting AJ and Knox separately? I think we will, because I'm going to make the prediction on here that I think Daniel Bryan is going to Raw, but Joel differs on me on that one.
If you really, really, really just want to kill any momentum that, what's his name? That guy.
Bryan?
Roman Reigns has, then yeah, put him right next to Daniel Bryan and see who's right. It's like you've got the fans are a dog, and you set the dog in the middle of the ring. One side is the big dog, and the other side's the goat. And you're like, who's the fan? Oh, the fan's already gone to the goat. The big dog's sad. He's the big red dog at the end of WrestleMania, so
he was a big red dog. Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with Bryan. Really quickly here, we're going to talk about the Rumble really quick, and then, but some predictions for what you think during the Superstar Shakeup and where some guys are going to go.
I have no guys clue and right gals. Now. I think the biggest thing will be the mid-card will get shuffled around. That whole IC and US title will swap, and I think that will lead to Rusev, Orton, and who's the other fellow?
Bobby. Or Jinder.
Yeah, Bobby. Well, Jinder's included in that. I think they'll jump over to Raw, and I think Finn. Well, maybe not Finn, but Jeff, Miz, and Seth will jump over to SmackDown. If you just send Joe over to SmackDown, keep Nakamura and AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan there, then
just send Joe and Finn. Just send Seth and Joe.
Yeah, and just have like Ring of Honor 2.0 on SmackDown. It'll be great.
The big question will be, will Miz and Bryan end up on the same show?
Yes, because I think that'll be either SummerSlam or Survivor Series. That will be a match that will happen, and I can't wait for it to happen.
And then let's talk about this greatest Royal Rumble. So Rusev was supposed to be in the match, and everyone was so mad, and now everyone is so upset because he's out of the match.
Well, we get Chris Jericho versus Undertaker. So
their first one-on-one match. They've had Elimination Chambers. They've had a triple threat with him and Big Show. That's where the line, I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot, came from, was that triple threat match. But now they're going to get a chance to do their one-on-one match.
It's going to be short and sweet, and the list is getting buried. And then the list will show up in New Japan and chase around Naito. So you get into a coffin, and that transports you to New Japan. So if you guys should keep that in mind. Will
be on SmackDown before this, or they'll just be like, oh, no, he's on Raw. Don't worry about it.
I think they'll just be like, oh, he's here.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll see him on TV then before the Rumble, or he'll just be at the Rumble?
He'll just be at the Rumble. He'll hype it up on social media.
Right. It's very weird to say the Rumble again, because I thought I was done saying that for a year.
Yep.
But I guess not with 50 of them. The Rusev thing, Lana sent out a tweet. What did she say, Joel?
She basically said that she protests that Rusev Day doesn't deserve to be put in a coffin, and she had formally protested to the office, and that was what was her complaint. So I guess she wanted to protect Rusev from a casket, and she did. But it may also have something to do with Bury Me Softly, Brother.
Yeah, that was interesting. So there we go. What a WrestleMania week from NXT with Bay Bay killing it and winning the North American title to that great match with Gargano and Ciampa to being the Elite finishing off to Ronda kicking ass at WrestleMania to all the new additions on Raw to Nakamura and a cash-in on SmackDown. It has been... And the drama with Roman and Brock, it has been a crazy week, and we are happy here at One Fall to get a chance to talk about it. We're going to wrap it up because we're tired, and we need a break from wrestling. And next week's a Superstar Shakeup, so it never ends. But Joel, thanks for everything, and anything else before we get out of here?
It's nap time. I'm napping for a week.
Yeah, we're ready to go into our own casket match. Until next time, cheers.
That $5 million for Marty, I don't think that's enough.
I know, he needs more. Enjoy the day, people.